He sent them out to preach repentance. The word repentance means a change of heart, to be converted. In fact, the word in Greek is metanoia, which means change your thinking. In other words, tune into God's will rather than your own. Not my will, but God's. Change your view or orientation in life and set course for heaven. The primary reason that Christ, as God, became man and entered our world was to redeem us from our sins. The word redeem means to pay back. Another term is atonement or at one meant, being at one with God. All sin has been redeemed, including original sin, and paid for by the precious blood of our Saviour on the cross. In July this month, we honour the blood of Christ. A debt was owing on humanity, and the Lord Jesus willingly offered himself as the blood sacrifice to wipe away all sins. That is what we mean by justification or redemption. One should not confuse, however, redemption with sanctification or salvation. They are connected as a foot is to the leg, yet remain distinct. One may lose their foot but retain their leg. All are redeemed, but not all will be saved. Redemption occurred without us, but salvation requires our effort. Our holiness or path to heaven involves a constant effort to work with God's grace and avoid sin. Sin, be it personal or original, prevents us from being united to God. It is an obstacle to heaven. Even the baptized, once original sin has been removed, need to repent daily of personal sins. They need to have a daily change of heart, or a daily, how have I been going? What things can I improve on? In what ways can I become more Christ-like? That's called an examination of conscience, a daily checklist, spiritually speaking, about how much I resemble Christ in my lifestyle. This is all terribly important because many people think that because they're baptized, Christ redeemed them on the cross, therefore no matter what they do in this life, they shall enter heaven. If we were to die today, and Christ was before us, and he said, give me one reason why you should enter heaven, what would your response be? I know some people would say, Lord, I'm a Christian, I was baptized by my parents, and look, I've never done anything too wrong, I've never been to jail, I don't have any criminal record, therefore, let me into heaven, please. That's the incorrect response. It's a legalist response. It regards God like a policeman, and, okay, you haven't lost too many points, you're right to go. No, that's not how it works. Another poor response would be, oh, well, Lord, I've drifted from the faith. I didn't practice for many years, but I've come back and I do love you and I read your Bible. You know, I read your Bible. I really enjoy reading all about you in the Bible. That misses the mark. It's not knowing about God that matters. It's knowing Christ personally. Or perhaps some people might say, well, look, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I've tried to keep the commandments. I've done my best. Therefore, I ought to go to heaven. Yeah, it's kind of there, but it's not. The commandments are the rules of life. In football, we have rules. Without rules, you cannot play the game. But just because you're keeping the rules and playing the game doesn't mean you'll be a winner. You have to do more than the rules to win the game. You must play well. You must strive to kick the goal to win the game. Well, so too, we keep the commandments to be in the game of life, but then we must go beyond the rules, the commandments, to practice the virtues of faith, hope, and charity with their fruits in abundance. And that's what enables us to be winners in the next life. In other words, we must give all of ourselves to God. Body, mind, and soul. One person who realized that at a very young age and left an impact on the Western world was Saint Benedict. An Italian born in 480, he had a conversion in his 20s and realized that, yes, we must love God, not just before Mass and after Mass on Sundays, but all of our life, all of our waking and sleeping moments belong to God. How best can we worship Him in that fashion? He gave up all he had and went to a place called Subiaco. And there gathered around him other young men, idealistic but realistic, and set about writing a rule of life. It's called the Benedictine Rule, which became in time the basic rule of all monasteries in the Western world. And that's why Benedict is called the father of Western monasticism. And since the monasteries in time gave us the Western culture, he's called the patron saint of Western civilization and of Western Europe. Because the monasteries fostered and furnished the Western culture, passed on the classics in Greek and Latin, which were hand-copied manuscripts, means by hand, they were written down, apart from the Bible. So literature, music, and modern music goes back to the monks. And of course, with that goes the whole notion of the Bachelor of Arts education. Math, science, philosophy, theology, all the classics were taught in monasteries. In the first European universities, Naples, Rome, Paris, were all monastic buildings, places where people came to know and love and serve God. It all began with Benedict. In his rule of life, he bases everything on the principle, which is the motto of the Benedictine rule. And the motto is simply this: work and pray. Ora et labora. We give ourselves to God in prayer. We contemplate His word. We praise Him with our thoughts. And then we go and work. We praise Him with our bodies. It's this combination of prayer and work given unto God that enables us to worship Him utterly and completely. And in doing so, God becomes a reality before us every moment of the day. So that when He does call us, we don't give some textbook answer. We don't show Him our tick list of things we've done or not done. But rather, He welcomes us home as His child that has been in constant dialogue, loving worship with Him each day. all of our life. Praise be Jesus Christ.